And of course, I have my lovely guest that we get to meet once a month, of course, here, Radioactive.fm, and we get to talk about a whole bunch of really cool stuff on the show. I've got the lovely Haritina Mogosano in the studio with me, Space Place, Carter Observatory in the house.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I would say clear skies because that's what we say normally, but I don't think so.
Not today. Yesterday was the day to look at the sky. And God, what a stunning night as well it was. And you were just showing me some magnificent photos of Saturn and Jupiter that your partner took from
our backyard.
From your backyard, yeah. From just a $3 telescope. No, it wasn't, is it?
It's
more expensive than that.
I think he would approve of that.
So you've got lots of toys at home as well.
We do. We have 7 telescopes and 7. They're spread around the house.
Are they just set on a specific part of the sky?
No, one is a big one that you look at the stars, mm-hmm. and it's like a manual one. It's a big Dobsonian that we have. The other one is for taking astrophotography. So it's like everyone has his own function in that house.
I'd love to come around for a slides night.
Absolutely.
This is Saturn. This is Jupiter. This is Jupiter from the other side.
We just do an open street night. We actually don't have anywhere like a balcony or anything. So every time we want to do observing, we ferry them up and down the stairs. Which is happening.
Yeah.
So that's dedication.
Yeah, it sure is.
Actually, the pictures, if anyone wants to see them, are on our blog on Milky Way Kiwi.
And it's incredible what you can do with equipment that you can have in your house. And what kind of photographic...
That's a special camera that he has, you mount it onto a telescope. And it's more like taking like a video, and then you've got this software program. So one of those pictures probably take an hour to take and another hour to process.
Why is that? Why does it take so? Is it because of
you
light
take
rendition?
Thousands of pictures that are of the same object, and mm-hmm. then you superimpose them, so then you get a lot of details. And usually, that's what happens with astronomical pictures. It's not just one; there's like a lot of them put one on top of each other.
I keep forgetting we're taking pictures of some humongous things.
Yeah, and far, far away.
And so you almost have to take per pixel. Picture of the whole lot, don't you?
Yeah,
well, not really a pixel, I'm exaggerating, but it's certain areas, and then you join them together to form a single picture.
Yeah, and think about like how far away these things are. Like Jupiter is about 40 light minutes from Earth, so mm-hmm. I don't know how much that is in kilometers, but like a lot. And you have to magnify, and then you have to keep track of the Earth's movement, right? Because Earth turns around 24 hours, right? So then you have to have a telescope that has a drive. Now mm-hmm. you have to align that in order for the telescope to work properly. So it's this whole thing, and it's very addictive. So you end up putting all your money into equipment and gear and things.
Just imagine having to take a perfectly focused photo of a moving object, say a skateboarder or something. Very similar, isn't it? You'd have to take a lot of very, very quick pictures and then sort of align them all together to form the one to get a proper non-blurry.
Or you have to have some telescope that is tracking, so and it has to be perfectly still. And then you still combine them and you get amazing detail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's other those photos that you've got a great. Where are those? So you're posting them up and you've got a blog for those, yeah?
So Jupiter is 677 million kilometers. Just if, you know, I thought maybe someone would
just
be curious.
Just in case anyone out there was wondering. That's the distance from Earth. Fascinating. Well, here we are talking about what's up in the sky. We were just talking about, because you were showing me the photos before.
Jupiter and Saturn are in the sky, and it's where everybody comes and sees them if they didn't see them mm-hmm. until now, and or if you already saw them, come back to Space Place at Carter Observatory. We have telescopes open every Tuesday night, which would be tonight if it would be clear skies. Friday nights and Saturday nights we have all these amazing telescopes open on these objects, so you can come and see them for yourself, and I think you should.
now when you say they're in the sky, obviously they're always in the sky, but what does that mean? They're in the sky
visible
to us or directly above us citizen.
So Jupiter and Saturn, they orbit around the sun, so when we look for them to see them, sometimes they are behind the sun or sometimes they are behind Earth, so mm-hmm. you know, you can't really we can't really see them all the time. But at this time of the year, they're in the evening sky. So as soon as it gets dark, just look up and you'll see Jupiter. Jupiter is like really high, high up in the sky. And then Saturn is a little bit to the right, towards the eastern horizon.
Which one's brighter?
Jupiter is brighter.
Yeah.
Jupiter is the biggest planet of our solar system, and but Saturn is bright too. It's like really bright. So there is no way those two bright objects in the sky high, that's them.
That's them. And of course, if you'd like to have those pointed out by a specialist,
yeah,
of course, you best to go up and check them out. The people that have the know, you go up to Space Place Gara Observatory.
And, you know, we have a 153 years old telescope there, which is like amazing to look at these things with this old equipment, which is phenomenal, still works very well, and yeah, and the atmosphere and everything. So yeah, do come.
You wanted to talk about the moon as well.
Well, it was quite big, the moon, this month, because we had 50 years since humans landed on the moon. And everybody...
That's right, that was celebrated, when was it, last week?
20th of July was when they stepped foot on the moon.
Yeah.
And we're showing a series of movies as well at the observatory coming very soon. One of them is The Dish, and I was just reading that when the anniversary happened, the people... who were in Australia at The Dish, watched The Dish at The Dish, was like, yeah, we're going to show it soon, but maybe not today. Yeah. So keep an eye on our website. It's coming in the next few weeks. And Hidden Figures as well, which is another amazing movie about these American women who put these people on the moon. And
now, these were the mathematicians.
The mathematicians, yes. Catherine Jones and them.
Basically wrote the code by hand.
Yep.
And there's a magnificent picture of one of them standing next to the text.
Yep.
And A4 pictures, and the stack of paper is taller than her.
Yeah, that's
and
another
did
one.
It all in her head.
Yeah.
No computers. No.
Well, they were called computers.
There were computers, but I guess the computers
it's
weren't
like, imagine someone teasing you, computer.
Oh. Do people still... I guess they probably don't.
No, they don't. But like, you can do it if you're passionate. You know, like there's like more like a
test
hobby.
Yourself.
It's just like with the telescope. In the old times, people had telescopes, like even 100 years ago, and you could look at the sky and you could make scientific discoveries, and they were fine and amazing. And anybody in their backyards could do that, right? They were looking at variable stars or planets, or, you know, measuring mountains on the moon. I've done actually the measuring mountains of the moon with my friends in expeditions called grazes. So you could contribute this kind of science. But ever since the satellites were invented, then they have more power. So they look up at the sky and they just like beep, and then you've got all this data set that is out there in like a few seconds, maybe not a few seconds, I'm exaggerating, but it's very easy to compute things nowadays and to look at the sky with telescopes. There are satellites, so like really powerful machines. So yeah, you don't do astronomy in your backyard, and you don't really do mathematics in your backyard either. So I think they're kind of like, these have fallen into the hobby. You know, like I just fired a telescope with hot chocolate and just take some pictures of Saturn just because you can, but not because you have to.
I came across, and I can't remember where, but I was every now and then on the Facebook, there's a block of scientific discoveries of recent days or so. I read somewhere that they're looking for water on the moon.
There is water on the moon, and every time people talk about space exploration, one of the big things that everybody gets stressed about is like, how can you send people somewhere where there isn't any water? Because if there is water, we can survive. If there isn't, then we can carry it from Earth. But it costs so much to put anything into orbit that is like, maybe not. So everybody got excited when they saw that there is water on the moon at the North Poles. And so now everybody's convinced that we can have a colony on the moon very soon or something like that. Or I hope so. I hope I'll die before I will see these cities on the moon. You know, with the tiny little lights making light pollution, but hey.
I am very, very scared that a company will start selling moon water.
Well, that probably they would. Probably they would, like, if I had a company, I'd go to the moon and start selling water because it would be very expensive.
$5,000 per bottle. Yeah, directly from the moon. Unchlorinated, I'm guessing too.
Probably.
That'd be interesting. What kind of compounds could you expect to find in moon water?
I don't know because that's kind of more a geology thing. Yeah. So that probably anything that you can find in stones, you can find out there. But I tell you, on Mars there is a lot of chlorine.
Yeah.
There are these things called perchlorates, which are kind of like toxic for some life and definitely toxic for humans, not for some bacteria. Mm-hmm. But water on Mars is chlorinated, so.
So you can swim in it, but probably wouldn't want to drink it.
Yeah, I don't know if you can swim in it. It's mostly ice as well. So unless we learn how to swim in ice, I will.
Skate, I guess.
Skate.
That'll be it.
Let's skate.
And what else is happening up at Space Place this month?
Well, we have movies and mm-hmm. we have the telescope course starting on Monday. Yep. And it's going to be amazing because it's our first telescope course in years. And
what does that entail?
I've seen the presentation beforehand, and it's awesome. So it's going to be a lot of learning out there. And, it's 5 weeks of learning basics about the telescope. So people who do have a telescope and they don't know what to do with it, they, mm-hmm. they can come and learn. And our marketing guy, he's really funny guy. So he put there the advert. He said, "Don't Marie Kondo your telescope," which I thought was very funny. "Come to us, we'll teach you."
Oh, well, if there's a reason why you're not using it enough, it's probably you might not be using it right or properly. Or
no, it's hard, right? So people get excited about telescopes, and I always say to them, "Don't buy a telescope." And they're like, "What? But you have seven." It's like, "Yeah, but I didn't have seven. I only had a pair of binoculars for years."
Yeah.
Buy binoculars. Mm-hmm. Look at the sky. Learn where things are. Because what a telescope does, it magnifies the sky really a lot, like mm-hmm. so much. And you get lost.
Yeah.
And then it's frustrating. Like, so frustrating. It's like, "Where is everything? I can't see it." But, you know, the thing can be not in the field of view, but like very, very close, but you can't find it because you don't know how to find it. So then a lot of people give up because of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, "I don't know how to look at it."
So start small. Start with training
wheels.
Yes,
think big, start small.
Learn the map, and then you get into the streets, and then you get into the houses.
Yeah, come to my course. Come to Stargazing 101 to learn the map, and then come to the Telescope 101. So that's it.
I never thought of it that way. Once you put it that way, of course, the space is astronomically humongous, so very easy. You're very likely to point your telescope to nothing.
Yeah, and they're dots, right? So these things are all dots in the sky. Like, there is no landmarks. There mm-hmm. is nothing to guide you. There are like some patterns, and, you know, you have the pot, which I think it's amazing. There is another one made by these kids in Crashers, the frying pan, which again is amazing. So all these fish and things and chips in the sky. But you have to learn them somehow. But they're all dots. Mm-hmm. So how can you remember unless you're like really crazy about the sky? But it's hard. You know, who has time for that?
Mm-hmm.
So it is not an easy thing to learn the sky if you're not into it. Like, "Oh, yeah, that's a cool picture, but I have other better things to do." But if you are into it and you really want to find out more, come to our courses and learn with us.
Get that space bug, and once you're there,
I got the space bug when I was six, and everybody, they gave me medicine. They said, "I should get over it. You'll recover." You know, they were like, "Oh, we're not really worried," and they should have been worried because I never recovered.
Yep. There you go. Lucky for us, you didn't.
Thank you.
Of course, you can catch Haritina up at Space Carter Observatory, showcasing her breadth of knowledge and information with regards to the sky as she comes in here and tells me just a little bit of a slice of what she gets up to up there. So there's movies, there's courses going on. Anything else worth noting before we wind it up, Hari?
Astronomy on Tap, we have this very cute event every month, every first Tuesday of the month, where you can come there with cheese and wine and beer and fruits and things, and for 2 hours I'm there to talk about the night sky and what's in there. And it's coming up soon, so that's kind of like next week.
Ooh,
yes.
Nibbles and stars. I like it. Best place to get all that information, of course, would be Space Blaze Carter Observatory. Actually, museumswellington.org.nz has the link to the Wellington Museum, Cable Car Museum, Neon Street Cottage, and Space Blaze Carter Observatory information.
It's a lot of words.
There's a lot of words. Well, it's a page that links to a bunch of pages and has all their information with regards to Space Place, admission, open times, parking and contact details, and of course everything that is happening up there, the planetarium schedule, what's up in space, where you can adopt a star even, and there is also primary education programs all available. Harry, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And as always, magnificent and delightful having you in the studio with us.
Clear skies.
Clear skies.